Hello and welcome to another episode of Getting Ahead at Work Life, where we help you improve the quality of life at your workplace. My name is Steve Page. Just as a reminder, we are trying to record three types of episodes: a weekly core topic episode, and then sprinklings of an interview episode and a question and answer episode as we get feedback from you, the listener. So please feel free to give your input. Letting our jobs kill us. Welcome to the third episode of the Getting Ahead at Work Life podcast. Why do we let our jobs kill us? So in the last episode, I talked a little about what work life is. In this episode, I want to take things a little further and discuss how we are letting it affect us. Okay, so this is going to be a jam-packed episode, so I'm just going to jump into this one with a bunch of stats and quotes at first, and then we'll discuss. So all of this stuff that I'm getting ready to read to you is a quote from an article from the Richmond Hypnosis Center. The links will be in the show notes. And it says, pop quiz, what do anxiety, panic attacks, depression, coronary heart disease, high blood pressure, fears, phobias, irritable bowel, fibromyalgia, ulcers, self-destructive habits like overeating, smoking, alcohol, and other drug use all have in common? They are all either caused by or made worse by stress. The World Health Organization has called stress the health epidemic of the 21st century. According to the Center for Disease Control / National Institute on Occupational Safety and Health, the workplace is the number one cause of life stress. But the most sobering statistic of all is that 110 million people die every year as a direct result of stress. That is 7 people every 2 seconds. The problem lies in habituation. People get so used to stress, they just don't even feel it anymore, so it leaks out in habit control problems. People get used to having unresolved internal, sometimes subconscious conflicts about such things as work, their health, their self-esteem, their living situation, or their relationships. Stress causes moderate to severe mental or physical pain for a huge number of people every year, and through preventable stress-related lifestyle issues, it leads directly to death for millions. 80% of workers feel stress on the job. Nearly half say they need help in learning how to manage stress. 42% say their coworkers need help reducing stress. 40% of workers report their job is very or extremely stressful. 26% said they are very often burned out by stress. Stress is responsible for 30% of all disability claims. Stress causes American businesses an estimated $300 billion a year. Okay, here's another article, a quote from another article. This is talking about workplace health and safety. In addition to the social and human costs of health problems and fatalities, the cumulative economic burden caused by a lack of wellness at work is enormous for both businesses and the global economy. This is especially true when productivity losses are added to direct medical expenses. A lack of wellness in the labor force is estimated to cost the global economy between 10 to 15% of global GDP. In the U.S. alone, work-related injuries, illnesses, and stress and workers' disengagement are estimated to cost the economy more than $2.2 trillion a year. And so you would think companies would be trying to alleviate these issues with a greater urgency, but the fact remains most companies are not worried about this and are just not cognizant of it. You would also think that companies would be trying to reduce high turnover rates for employees due to high stress and unfair working conditions. Okay, here's some more quotes. Well-being through professional development. To be successful in attracting the right talent, offering flexibility and a sufficient work-life balance are essential. Bill Gates explains how businesses can benefit. The competition to hire the best will increase in the years ahead. Companies that give extra flexibility to their workers will have the edge in this area. Therefore, to attract the best talent with the right skill set, a healthy work environment combined with a wellness culture becomes increasingly important. There's another one, specific actions for ensuring mental and emotional well-being. We often underestimate the importance of psychological and emotional health in the workplace. Mental and emotional well-being is essential to overall health. Positive mental health allows people to realize their full potential, cope with the stresses of life, work productively, and make meaningful contributions to their communities. The employer can proactively contribute by providing the necessary work-life balance, creating an empathetic organizational culture, offering stress reduction programs, implementing anti-harassment policies, and supporting family leave, among many other things. This is so important. Please listen up, companies, and if you are listening to this, please give us some feedback and maybe let us know what your company is doing to help in these areas. Okay, here's another quote. By many accounts, America's workers are both overworked and overwhelmed. Work days bleed into personal time, and some complain about the inability to control or even plan for their constantly changing schedules. So it's no surprise that such circumstances can lead to high stress levels, but the reality of career-related stress might be more costly than most workers realize. A 2015 working paper from Harvard and Stanford Business Schools takes a look at 10 common job stressors, from lack of health insurance to long working hours to job insecurity. Researchers then considered how the mental and physical effects of these forms of stress related to mortality. The paper found that health problems stemming from job stress, like hypertension, cardiovascular disease, and decreased mental health, can lead to fatal conditions that wind up killing about 120,000 people each year, making work-related stressors and the maladies they cause more deadly than diabetes, Alzheimer's, or influenza. High levels of stress are costly in monetary terms, too. Researchers found that stress-related health problems could be responsible for between 5 to 8% of annual healthcare costs in the U.S. That amounts to about $180 billion each year in healthcare expenses. The stress that comes from the combination of low job control and high demands has also been found to contribute to issues like cardiovascular disease. Conflicting priorities between work and home have a negative effect on mental health and have been linked to some substance abuse issues, according to the study. The researchers recommend company-wide events and mentorship programs to help in tackling high stress levels for employees and the associated health costs for employers. Efforts to retain employees for significant periods of time might help too, since workers tend to feel more secure and form more supportive social networks when there is some level of consistency within the employee pool, according to the research. We do not claim that an ideal stress-free workplace is realistically or economically achievable, write co-authors Joel Goh, Jeffrey Pfeffer, and Stefano A. Zinios. Instead, they suggest that a focus on stressors that can reasonably be targeted and reduced might have a beneficial impact for everyone. Even though it is likely that these stressors cannot be completely eradicated in practice, our analysis suggests that even reducing their prevalence could potentially go a long way in improving health outcomes and costs. End quote. Again, this is so important. Okay, now on to some real life experiences. So this is me talking now. This is all the quotes and stats are done. So before my family and I came to Germany, I was working on a job for about 4 years. I worked with a group of database administrators. There were two teams based on what application platform we were administrating. The team I was on was the smaller of the two. It had maybe two or three DBAs out of four slots available. The other team had like four DBAs out of eight slots available. So neither team had a full roster. Anyway, there was a DBA on the other team who was pretty dedicated to his job. After a couple of years of working in the same room with this guy, I and the rest of the people on the two teams, that he was doing a lot of extra work. He had a lot of tasks on his plate. He was taking on a lot of tasks just in his daily job. He was developing a scripting automation framework on his own because he wanted it done a certain way. He was doing work at home, and he coached his son's soccer team, which I'm sure his blood pressure was heightened from. Lots of yelling on the field. He was somewhere around 45 years old, give or take a few years. So things got busier and busier for us at work, especially on his team. They really needed 10 people. Now, this guy also had diabetes. I don't know how he was doing with it, whether it was really bad or not. It didn't seem like it. Although, he would come into work with 2 1-liter Diet Coke bottles daily. We tried to tell him that it was really bad for him to drink that every day, especially with diabetes. So, to make a long story short, we came into work one Monday morning to find out that he had passed away over the weekend on the field of his son's soccer game he had been coaching. We had all told him he was doing too much and that he didn't have to. It was a very sad time. You know, what animosity we had for the company just increased, whether it was their fault or not. I don't know for sure, but I was guessing from what other people closer to him were saying, he didn't know how to say no, and he wanted to control certain things rather than share the workload with his coworkers. He just kept doing more and more, and I'm sure he felt all this work he was doing would make him look good for when it came time for raises. I still miss him to this day, not because I was particularly close to him, but simply because he was a human being who had a nice family who is not with us anymore. So there was now another spot to fill. And this, of course, made more work for the people that remained on that team. I think they filled the position a few months later, but I'm sure it probably felt like a year to that team. So a new DBA was hired for that team. This guy was about, I think, 50 to 53 years old. He was a very likable guy, pretty knowledgeable. It took some time for him to get up to speed. But once he did, he started handling his share of the workload. Things went on for about a year. Not much changed in the number of DBAs, but there was a change in the workload, of course. The company needed or wanted to do a lot more on the contract. So both teams had continually told management that they needed to fill the open DBA slots, but that did not happen. So this DBA started taking on more and more work. Again, like the previous DBA who had passed, he did not know how to say no. And I believe he wanted to take on as much work so that he would be perceived as being more productive and therefore more important. He started making mistakes because it was hard to keep track of everything. We all told him that he didn't need to work himself to death. We all told him his health was going to suffer. He was increasingly stressed. Well, guess what? One day, we got notice he passed away. 1 year after the first DBA passed away, like literally within a couple weeks of the 1 year mark, everyone was devastated. It was unbelievable. Another case of someone overworked and stressed out dying. Was that position just cursed? No. Why do we do this to ourselves? Why do we let our jobs determine our worth and importance? It's ridiculous. Why don't we take more time for ourselves? Why don't we seek out jobs that are good for us? We need to change our mindset about this stuff. In the meantime, while you're digesting all of this, here are some things that you can do to lessen your stress and help you deal with an unfriendly job until you can work things out or find a new one. I have links in the show notes for 3 simple exercises to ease anxiety. One really great thing you can do is to take on meditation and begin doing basic meditation through the use of apps even. You can do yoga, and you can do special exercises for stress and anxiety. So I mentioned all those statistics and quotes in the beginning because I really want people to think about their jobs in comparison to their health. I really want people to think about what is really important and to realize that they have the ability to simply choose what's important to them and that they can have it. They can have a great, fulfilling job or career. You just have to get in the right mindset. You have to not be complacent, and you have to really put yourself first. I'm writing this script up on the day that my wife started a new job, one that she had been waiting for, hoping for, and more importantly, fought for and didn't give up on. She had to put some effort into getting it, from the basics of updating her resume and interviewing, to the frustrations of filling out the same form literally like 6 or 7 times because she was dealing with an administrative office that was, let's just say, lacking, and then to constantly make calls and writing emails to follow up on the job. She came home today extremely joyful, having had the best day ever and really loving her new job. Wouldn't that be great if this was you? Well, we hope you enjoyed this episode of Getting Ahead at Work Life. Please like and subscribe to the podcast on Spreaker.com, iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, and wherever else you enjoy listening to podcasts. We would love to hear feedback from you. So if you would like to submit questions, comments, or if you'd like to be interviewed for the podcast, please do so at info@gettingaheadatworklife.com. Or you can also come on over to our Facebook group to continue the conversation. And just remember, your job shouldn't feel like a life sentence. You have the ability to choose something better.